is Pat, and I am reading the Clinton Journal for Friday, October the 3rd. Playground dedicated to Mike Reedy. Playground dedicated to Mike Reedy. Completely renovated playground inside Gowanus Park now bears the name of the city's former chief. This is by Gordon Woods of the Clinton Journal. New equipment in Gowanus Park now awaits kids and families. The Michael J. Reedy Playground was dedicated on September the 24th. Reedy served as Clinton Chief of Police before retiring. He passed away in 2024. City Commissioner Dan Ballinger opened the ceremony with a few comments to dedicate the park, with Mayor Helen McCallasy and Commissioners Ken Buchanan and John Weiss on hand. A crowd of parents and children waited to inaugurate the new playground. Ballinger talked about the former play equipment, built some 20 years ago by local volunteers under the supervision of Leathers and Association. The wooden structure eventually began to rot and became unsafe, prompting the decision to take it down. "We promised the little ones of our community a new park," Ballinger said. Ballinger complimented the employees of the city department for preparing the lot for installation of the new equipment. The city hoped to open the park earlier in the summer season, but the contractor experienced delays in starting the project. Ballinger said employees and city officials were committed to renovating the city's park play area. Current Chief of Police Ben Lowers, who served under Reedy, offered some words about the former chief. "He was more than a mentor to me. He was a friend, leader, and someone who shaped the lives of thousands," Lowers said. "Today, as we dedicate this playground in his honor, we are also celebrating the lasting legacy he leaves behind." Lowers covered Reedy's law enforcement career, eventually becoming chief of police in Clinton in 1993. Lowers said Reedy's leadership went beyond day-to-day police work, involving himself in projects to help young people. "He believed public service was about more than protection. It was about connection," Lowers said. Reedy's widow, Joanne, accompanied by their sons and grandson, said her husband never liked a lot of fuss. "But I really believe he would be smiling, knowing that the playground had been named after him, because kids were everything to him." Joanne Reedy also thanked the city and commissioners and everyone involved for their effort in renovating the park. "I can't thank you enough. I know we'll be back many, many times," she said. Mayor Helen McCallasy said a lot of thought went into redesigning the playground. "There is an area that's more toddler-oriented and for smaller children to play," McCallasy said. "It's completely accessible with something for everybody." She encouraged residents to visit the park and enjoy the new area. And now, Fall Campout Night at Weldon Springs, October 11 and 12. Clinton, new to camping? Or looking for a fun family night with the kids under the stars? The Fall Campout Night at Weldon Springs State Park on October 11 and 12 offers the chance to learn the basics of camping, along with a campfire dinner, games, moonlight showing of Camp Nowhere, and a nighttime nature walk. The free event, sponsored by the Weldon Springs Foundation, opens at 4 p.m. at the Long Point Campground, the group campground just south of the main park campground. Campers should bring their own tents and camping essentials. A limited number of tents will be available for first-time campers. Campers will learn the seven C's of camping: cover, cooking, comfort, clothing, cleanliness, care, and communication. Dinners, s'mores for the campfire, and breakfast will be provided. Campers are asked to bring snacks and drinks. Breakfast will be served from 7 to 8:30 on Sunday. Following breakfast, campers are invited to join the foundation from 8 to 10 a.m. for a service project at the park. To register for the camping event before October 8, email Weldon Springs Foundation at yahoo.com. CFD responds to combine fire. At 12:02 p.m. on Tuesday, Clinton firefighters were dispatched to the area of Reagan Road and U.S. Highway 54 for a combine and field fire. Firefighters arrived, finding fire in a bean crop and a combine fully engulfed under power lines. The power company was called right away to de-energize the lines, leaving 180 customers without power. The fire was quickly controlled and with suppression lines. There was one civilian injury who has been released from the hospital. Wapella and Marrora Fire Departments assisted Clinton firefighters with the blaze, along with support from DeWitt County's Sheriff's Department and DeWitt Ambulance. All firefighters were back in the station by 3:15 p.m., ready for another call on a hot, dry, and windy day. Farmer City seeks parade entries. Entries are needed for the 2025 Farmer City Christmas Parade, set for Sunday, November the 23rd, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. The parade will begin at the Farmer City Fairgrounds at 2 p.m. The theme for this parade is a candy cane Christmas. The annual Christmas parade, sponsored by the Farmer City Chamber of Commerce, is traditionally one of the largest Christmas parades in central Illinois and always draws a huge crowd of spectators from throughout the area. Traditional entrants include various high school bands, shrine entries, holiday floats, former WCIA weather forecaster Judy Fraser, and many others. Individuals and groups are encouraged to enter and join other individuals, groups, and businesses already lined up for this year's parade. Individuals or groups who wish to enter are asked to contact Chad Wills, parade chairman, at 309-386-2791. And that is 309-386-2791. And from the op-ed page, On Point by Richard Koritz, Too Fast, Too Quick. One of my major concerns about the Trump administration is how fast the administration acts. I also readily acknowledge that if you must have a mission accomplished, give it to a busy person, because the job will get done. To date, Trump has gotten done what he said he would do, and for that he is to be commended. However, the concern is still there. The current status of the Hamas and Israel war is the most recent example. I applaud Trump for seeking peace when others have only sought accommodations. There have been negotiations going on for months between the Prinzels and Qatar, and those negotiations stalemated. Trump steps in and works out a plan which appears to be a workable outline for resolution. The downside is the speed of settlement. In negotiation, the speed can be an ally towards resolution. It can also be an albatross if unchecked. Trump gave Hamas 72 hours to agree to the deal with Israel once Israel accepts the deal. Israel accepted the deal, and the clock is running. In fact, the clock will expire before this column is printed. The best part of the deal is that the captives held by Hamas will be returned to Israel within the 72 hours. Well and good. The downside is that if the deal is not accepted, the U.S. has essentially provided Israel with carte blanche approval to eradicate Hamas. That would mean a scorched earth destruction of Gaza beyond what has already been leveled. Additionally, the peace agreement calls for a peacekeeping force to be inserted into Gaza to assure compliance with the peace terms. Nobody seems to know who will be in that peacekeeping body and who will be footing the bill. I sincerely hope Trump can achieve peace in Gaza, but the details are simply unknown, and that is a major concern for longevity. Trump seems to have a lot of rabbits in his hat, and maybe he can pull off another one. religious tolerance in Michigan. This past Sunday, one person's intolerance of another's religious beliefs resulted in his death and the deaths of five people, including the shooter. The person the police described as the assailant, a 40-year-old male, had an extreme hate for those who attended the Church of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons. The assailant drove his pickup truck into the church during a worship service and then started shooting congregants and set the church ablaze. The structure was demolished in the blaze. The police killed the assailant in a firefight when they responded. The attack goes against all that our nation stands for. Our country was established on freedom of religious and being able to express one's views without fear or loss of liberty. I certainly have some doctrinal differences with the LDS Church, but those are for civil debate and discussion. There is much more that binds LDS Church and others of the greater Christian faith than fractures it. I have learned a lot more about others' beliefs by attending their services. That provides the opportunity for open and honest debate, which again is what this country is founded. Comments on the U of I football game. My wife and I attended the game at Memorial Stadium this past Saturday. The atmosphere was electric. The game was decided in the final seconds by a field goal, which was fortunately in Illinois' favor. The stadium was sold out and it was full to the very end. The game defined what sports is all about. People had fun and sportsmanship was adhered to. It was simply a good day to be an Illini fan. Just a reminder, this week is Clinton High School's homecoming. The football team has had a rough time this season and could use a little public support. The team has yet to win a game, and some fan support in the new bleachers is always appreciated. Have a good week. Richard Koritz is an Illinois native, attorney, and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And another op-ed. 2 months and loving every minute from the Mac Desk by Billy McMacken. It's hard to believe, but it has already been 2 months since I officially took the reins of the Clinton Journal. Time has flown by, and I can honestly say I am loving every minute of it. When you spend 3 decades in the newspaper business like I have, you think you know it all. But stepping in as an owner with my name on the masthead has been a different kind of joy. The people I've met, the stories we've told, and the communities we serve, all of it has reminded me why I fell in love with this work in the first place. My hope is that you, our readers, are enjoying it as much as I am. Every week we aim to put together pages that capture the life of DeWitt County, from Friday night lights and school concerts to community events, civic projects, and hometown heroes. Newspapers are more than just information. They are a record of who we are and what we value. One thing I've learned in a short amount of time, you, the readers, are our best marketers. Word of mouth, neighbors telling neighbors, families passing a paper across the kitchen table, friends encouraging friends to subscribe. That's what keeps local news alive. No billboard or Facebook ad can match the power of someone saying, "You should read this story in the journal." So here's my ask. If you enjoy what we're doing, consider buying a subscription for yourself if you haven't already. Or better yet, purchase one for a friend or a neighbor or a family member. A subscription isn't just a gift of newsprint. It's a way of supporting a place we call home and ensuring our stories keep being told. Owning and operating the Clinton Journal has been a dream come true, and I am grateful every day for the trust you place in us. Here's to many more months and years of covering the life and times of DeWitt County. See you in the paper. Billy McMacken. CJSHS Basketball Takes Down Leroy at Home by Mark Rogers of the Clinton Journal. The season looked promising for the Clinton Junior High Lady Maroon basketball teams on the morning of September the 27th. They were playing two Saturday morning games against the Lady Panthers of Leroy. The 7th grade teams took to the hardwood first in what would be a tough loss for the visiting Lady Panthers. The Panthers ran into the Clinton Buzzsaw, the Lady Maroons leading at the end of the first quarter 8-0, up 24 at the halftime break. The home team blasted out of the locker room to take the third quarter at 15-1. Each team scored 4 points in the fourth quarter, using mostly substitutes, with Clinton winning 39-9. Lady Maroons were led by Briley Bevins with 20 points and Vivian Peterson with 14. The 8th grade game started as the 7th grade game, with the Lady Maroons leading 13-4 at the end of the first quarter and leading 15-6 at halftime. The Lady Maroons didn't slack off as they continued their onslaught with an 8-4 third quarter and a 14-8 fourth quarter to win the game 37-18, a little closer than it seemed during the game. A. Peterson led the home team with 13 points. And now the Maroons freshmen over the Rams JV and varsity fall. Clinton High School Lady Maroon volleyball teams return to their home hardwood on September the 3rd to take on the Shelbyville Lady Rams. The freshman match began with a continuation of their previous bouts with Olympia, with the first set back and forth with no apparent team gaining an advantage. Both teams fought hard, with Clinton finally winning 30-28. The second set saw the Lady Rams take a six-point lead but let it slip away, seeming to lose confidence as the Lady Maroons fought back to also win this set by a score of 25-19, winning the match 2-0. The junior varsity Lady Maroons took an early lead in their first set, but then it let it slip away into a deficit. The Lady Rams had a sizable lead, but Clinton fought back to tie the set at 23 and 24 points before dropping the set 24-26 to the Lady Rams. The second set saw the Lady Maroons fight back into the match with a 5-point run in the middle of the set to come out ahead 25-17. This brought on the third set, in which Clinton lost their drive and cohesiveness and flat out gave the set away 7-15. Thus, Lady Rams won the match 2-1. The final match of the evening was the varsity squads. The first set saw the Lady Rams control the play, even with some dynamic running jump serves by Clinton. The Lady Rams won the set 25-18. The second set was a toughly fought matchup, with neither team getting a large advantage. The Lady Maroons hung tough and came out on top 25-21 to tie the sets, and again forcing a third set. In the final set, the Lady Maroons went down by 4 or 5 points and were never able to get back in the game, losing 25-19 in the set and 2-1 in the match. Two wins, one loss in early season volleyball action. Early in the season, the CJHS and CHS volleyball teams played some matches against the Olympia Lady Spartans. The matches were held at CJHS while work was being done on the CHS gym floor due to the roof leaking during the summer. The freshman teams led off the evening with a close match all the way. There were never more than 3 to 4 points separating the teams throughout both sets, with the Lady Maroons taking the first set 25-22 and the Lady Spartans taking the second at 25-21. Next up were the junior varsity teams, which didn't disappoint the fans either. There was another nail-biter throughout. In this match, there was never more than a 2 or 3 point spread in the sets. Olympia took the first set 25-22, and Clinton took the second by the same score. This moved the match into a third set to 15 points due to time constraints. The Lady Maroons were in the lead at 14-13 when the Lady Spartans got revitalized and made three straight points to win the set 16-14 and the match 2-1. The final match of the night pitted the two varsity teams. In the first set, it appeared the Clinton team was on track for a win as they blasted their way to a 25-15 win. Then the real volleyball began as the Lady Spartans came alive and battled hard through the second set. Again, fans were on the edges of their seats as the teams were never over 2 or 3 points apart. Olympia took the second set, 25-22. The third and final set kept everyone alert as the running jump and kill shots abounded, but the home team was able to eke out the win at 26-24 and take the match 2-1. And now law enforcement. Clinton Police Department. Citations. On November the 26th, Matthew Beatles, 50, of Clinton was issued citations for operating a vehicle with suspended registration and operating an uninsured vehicle. Beatles was issued a notice to appear. On 9/26, Everett Knopp, 46, Farmer City, was issued citations for speed and violation of classification. Motorcycle with no Class M endorsement. Knopp was issued a notice to appear. 9/28, Caden Roberts, 22, of Decatur, was issued a citation for operating a vehicle with suspended registration. Roberts was issued a notice to appear. 9/28, Tyler Tomasek, 31, of Lincoln, was issued a citation for operating a vehicle with suspended registration. Tomasek was issued a notice to appear. 9/28, Amanda Murphy, 43, of Clinton, was issued a citation for operating an uninsured motor vehicle. Murphy was issued a notice to appear. Arrests. 9/24, Ashley Davis, 34, was arrested in DeWitt County. Davis was transported to DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 9/24, James Howell, 39, of Clinton, was charged with aggravated battery firearm. Howell was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 9/25, Dustin Ringer, 18, of Clinton, was arrested in DeWitt County on a DeWitt County warrant. He was additionally charged with adult-use cannabis in a motor vehicle. Ringer was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. On 9/25, Ernesto Vargas Avalos, 37, of Clinton, was arrested on a DeWitt County warrant. Vargas Avalos was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 9/25, Tyler Hendricks, 22, of Clinton, was arrested on 2 DeWitt County warrants. Hendricks was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 9/26, Brian Woolham, 41, of Clinton, was arrested on a Shelby County warrant and an IDOC parole warrant. Woolham was also charged with aggravated battery and driving while license revoked. Woolham was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. 9/26, Trace LaCroix, 19, of Clinton, was charged with possession of adult-use cannabis in a motor vehicle outside approved container. LaCroix was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and released to corrections. On 9/26, Isaac Olvera, 20, of Clinton, was charged with possession of adult-use cannabis in a motor vehicle outside approved container. Olvera was transported to the DeWitt County Jail and was released to corrections. DeWitt County Sheriff's Office. Blaine Cox, 18, of Lincoln, was issued a citation for speeding 85 miles in a 55-mile zone. Cox was released with a required court appearance. Kevin Schneff, 37, of Lincoln, was issued a citation for operating a vehicle with expired registration. Schneff was given a notice to appear and was released. Linda Hager, 77, of Bloomington, was issued citations for improper lane usage, driving on shoulder, and disobeying traffic control device. Hager was given notice to appear and was released. Dallas Beeler, 29, of Cerro Gordo, was arrested in DeWitt County, warrant charging her with driving on a suspended license. All suspects are presumed innocent unless found guilty in a court of law. And now the History Almanac. In 1961, Dick Van Dyke Show debuted on CBS TV. In 1962, the Sigma 7 blasted off from Cape Canaveral for a 9-hour flight. In 1981, the Irish nationalist in May's prison in Belfast, Northern Ireland, called off their hunger strike. The strike had lasted 7 months, and 10 people had died. In 1988, the space shuttle Discovery landed safely after its 4-day mission. It was the first American shuttle mission since the Challenger disaster. In 1989, East Germany suspended the unrestricted travel to Czechoslovakia in an effort to slow the flow of refugees to the West. 1989, Art Shell became the first African-American head coach in the modern NFL when he took over the Los Angeles Raiders. In 1990, the Berlin Wall was dismantled 11 months after the borders between East and West Germany were dissolved. The unification of Germany ended 45 years of division. In 1990, Iraqi President Saddam Hussein made a visit to Kuwait since his country had seized control of the oil-rich nation. 2001, Barry Bonds, San Francisco Giants, broke Babe Ruth's major league single season record for walks at 171. 2003, Ray Horn of the duo Sigrid and Roy was attacked by a tiger during a performance. Roy survived the attack after being dragged off stage. The tiger, a 7-year-old male named Moncour, was debuting in his first show. In 2006, North Korea announced that it would conduct a nuclear test as a key step in the manufacture of atomic bombs that it viewed as a deterrent against U.S. attack. A date for the test was not announced. As a reminder, the Clinton Journal Letter Policy. The Clinton Journal accepts responsibly written letters covering topics of interest to our readers. Letters must be the original works of their senders. The Journal does not publish anonymous letters. Letters submitted for publication must include the name of the author, address, and telephone number. Addresses and phone numbers will not be published. The editor and manager reserve the right to edit letters for length and or content and publish letters using any journal platform, that is, print newspaper, website, or other electronic delivery method. Readers should keep in mind that letters published are the opinions of their authors, are not news reports, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this newspaper's, its staff, or its advertisers. The Journal does not certify information used in the letters, but will remove any passages it considers potentially libelous. Election letters. The Journal will accept letters from private citizens endorsing candidates or ballot measures. Candidates must purchase political advertising. This issue of the Clinton Journal includes the 2025 Clinton High School homecoming varsity football team, with pictures of all of them. There is also a picture from the Apple and Pork Festival. A family takes fun photos over the weekend at the Apple and Park Festival on the grounds of C.H. Moore Mansion. There will be more photos of the festival in the October 10th edition next week. Have a good day, and I'll be back next week.